The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him.
Why don't I pray and ask God to help us? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a living God who speaks a living word. Pray that you'd help us this morning to hear your voice, not only to hear your voice, but to understand your word and to apply it to our lives for the honour and glory of your name. Amen. I love the tube. I love going down into the depths, leaving one world and emerging in another. So you can exit Oxford Circus, the world of retail, of fashion and stores and shoppers, browsing and window gazing, and then you descend and then you can go a little way and you emerge at Bank in the heart of the city, the world of business and offices and suits and people bustling between meetings. Completely different world with little connection to the one you've just been. It's something of a picture of what it's like for many of us at work. We leave the world of our homes on Monday morning, the domestic world of family, and we emerge later in our working context, office, factory, school, completely different world, with little connection to the one we've just been in. Two worlds that we inhabit that for most of us have little overlap. A different set of people, a different set of environments, different lives. And there is a big gap between the two. And this is true if we're a follower of Jesus. The gap between here today, what we're talking about and sharing and wrestling with, matters of faith, talking about the God of the universe, of his son Jesus, and living under his authority. The gap between now and this time tomorrow, just think what you'll be doing this time tomorrow. The gap is huge. How does this world connect with that world? How do I integrate my faith in Jesus with my manual or desk job tomorrow? How does Sunday connect with Monday to Friday? Work is where we spend the majority of our waking hours and our adult lives. It so often defines us how quickly we ask people, "What do you do?" So much of our identity is tied up with the job we do. Yet as followers of Jesus, our primary identity is in him. We are united to Jesus through faith in him. How does this identity operate in my working life? This little series of sermons, we've been looking at key relationships in our lives, wives and husbands, children and parents, and today, slaves and masters. As Christians, for this is who the Apostle Paul is addressing, those who he describes in chapter 5, verse 18, as filled with the Spirit. He goes on to say at 5:21, those who are Spirit-filled people are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We are in Christ under him. We submit to him. He is Lord. That means that we are not. And we're seeing how this particular submission works out in different relationships. And we're seeing a gospel gap, a gap between what we hear in God's words as we gather and how his word works out in life. And this gospel gap, I suggest, is greatest in the world of work. A couple of preliminaries before we dive in. Firstly, there's no comment in these verses on slavery per se, the prevailing custom of the first century. And it's not something we're going to cover today. That's for another time. Secondly, because slaves and masters is not the language we use, I'm going to substitute employees for slaves and employers for masters. Employers being, if you like, a catch-all phrase, whether we're owners, managers, supervisors. Third preliminary, I'm conscious that not all of us are in full-time work. Some are retired, some are full-time mothers or fathers working at home, others are off work and out of work for various reasons. But God has a word for all of us to think through how we live as his children in this world. And finally, we can't say everything about work. We're going to confine ourselves to what it's dealing with here, to our relationships at work and our relationship with God and how they work out. First thing to say is this, a different way of working. A different way of working, chapter 6, verse 5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Here's the big picture, where to obey our earthly masters as we obey our heavenly master. Our submission to those in authority over us at work is to be a concrete expression of our submission to Jesus. It is, if you like, a visible picture to those we work with and under of what it looks like to live with Jesus as Lord. This is the principle. And the problem isn't necessarily understanding the principle that we're to obey our earthly masters as we obey our heavenly master, but the application of this principle in our lives, closing the gospel gap that we've talked about. Now, for some of us, as we think about work tomorrow, we think, oh no, I've got to go back into that world with a difficult boss. I don't want to obey them. I find it really hard because they're so difficult and unreasonable. Maybe they bully me or they intimidate me or harass me. And I read this word here, obey them. Well, with that in mind, let's just see what he has to say. He starts with a negative application. We're not to be people pleasers, not people pleasers. Verse 6, obey them, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you. How well we know this, don't we? From our school days, you know, the teacher leaves the classroom to do some work she's nipped out for. As soon as she has gone, as soon as her eye is no longer on us, down tools and start mucking around. And, of course, we post someone on the lookout so that as soon as she returns, we look as if we've been studious all the time. It's not that different to the work context, is it? How tempting to work hard when the boss is around and watching and then to slack when they're away. How we want to impress them, even manipulating situations to make it look as if we've worked harder than we have to win their favour, only to have long lunch breaks when they're out of the office, when their eye is not on us. For example, how much of our work time is spent checking our social media, doing some internet shopping, surfing the web for the best holiday deal? Do we do that if we're in the boss's eyesight? Here's a different way of working, not people pleasers, not doing eye service, but remembering who we are, slaves of Christ. His eye is on us all the time. As we'll see in verse 8, we'll answer to him, we account to him. Are we seeking his favor above all? Which is the second application, and it's a positive one. Not people pleasers, but God pleasers. Look with me at all the heart references in these verses. Verse 5, with sincerity of heart. Verse 6, doing the will of God from your heart. Verse 7, serve wholeheartedly. How we serve as a worker, as an employee, is a matter of the heart. And just think of the natural inclination of our hearts at work. How we find it stressful work, often not enjoyable. We don't want to go to work because of the boss, because he's a tyrant, because he's a bully. We approach work half-heartedly, not wholeheartedly, reluctantly, not thankfully. And that inclination comes from hearts that are often self-orientated, self-protecting, thinking about ourselves and what's in it for me. What would it look like if you're in that sort of situation, or if you can imagine that sort of situation, if we were to serve wholeheartedly? Not concerned to win people's favor primarily, but God's favor, serving Him. He has given us new hearts in Christ. It might mean doing an honest day's work, performing the tasks we're given to the best of our ability with excellence. God's commitment is to excellence. As Genesis 1 says, God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. So Christians should be known above all for good work. We should be the best workers wherever we are, with a positive attitude, with the greatest dependability, the most trustworthy, people of integrity, as good as our word, even in the face of the difficult boss, the harsh employer, the trying conditions. Is this how you work in your workplace as an employee? Do your fellow workers see a difference in your work? For example, if I or if any of us was to join you for a day at work, what would we see or hear? I read a poll recently that there was little, if any, difference in the work ethics of Christians and those who weren't. That they were either as lazy or overworking as much as anyone else. There was no difference. God's command in these verses is that those of us who are followers of Jesus are to do the will of God from our hearts. Is this the chief ambition of our work? To prove ourselves to be worthy of Him as His slaves and to honor Jesus. That'll be evident in our behavior, as verse 5 says. So few people meet Christians. We might be the only ones that they ever come into contact with through our work. How will they come to know Jesus? Well, through the way you behave as a servant of His, it can have a massive impact. Bad work, half-hearted, no respect for an employer, not pulling our weight, that is the worst advert for Jesus, for Christianity. In God's economy, no work we do is insignificant. So as Christians in the workplace, we should actually stand out as different. Not as the most able or the most intelligent, it's not saying that, but as hard workers, those who are honest and helpful. Because in doing that, we honor Jesus. We are God pleasers. Then when people look at you and get to know you, they might say, we've never seen anyone work like this before. What is it that makes you tick? Your work is an opportunity to bear witness to Jesus by how you work. So what could you, what do you need to change? A different way of working. But secondly, a distinctive way of managing, a distinctive way of managing. As masters, treat your slaves in the same way. In the first century world, this word to slave owners would have been shocking because it was so distinctive. Contemporary writer at the time, Seneca, is quoted as having said, all slaves are enemies. That's what how they treated them, or thought of them, and therefore treated them. In order to deal with their slaves, owners were known to threaten beatings and sexual harassment, even selling them so they'd be parted from their families. The Me Too movement has exposed some not dissimilar practices by some employers of female staff. Sexual harassment and abuse. Silencing of them by buying them off with non-disclosure agreements. Threats of never getting a job again if they break that agreement. The principle for masters, employers, is that they are to behave in relationship with their employees in exactly the same way as employers are to them. That is, that their actions and attitudes are to be governed and ruled by their relationship to their heavenly Lord. Now, there's a particular word to employers here, as there was for employees. For employees, it was winning favor when their eye was on them. But for employers, it's the use of threats. The use of threats, something that employers, as those in power, are very prone to do. You may have been on the receiving end of threats from employers, a threat of redundancy, the threat if you don't work overtime, the threat if you whistleblow and report them for discrimination or intimidation. And if you're an employer, a team leader, a manager, are you using your power appropriately in a way that honours Jesus, that is fair and honest, not harsh and demeaning and manipulative or threatening for those who work under you? Are you making it easy or hard for them to submit to you? Paul's appeal to masters is twofold here. He motivates them to treat their slaves in the same way, firstly by reminding them that they, though earthly masters, are slaves of their heavenly master. Verse 9, you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. So don't get up yourself, is the implication. You'll be treated in exactly the same way. Just as slaves will have to give an account on the final day before the judgment throne of God, you too, masters, will have to do the same for all that you have done. Now, if you're a boss or ever have been, it's so easy to get a big head, to think that you're better than those under you. That leads you to lord it over them, to boss them around. Think of situations, I mean, some of you are retired, but all of us will know situations like how you treat the person who's doing some work for you at home. Maybe you're putting a new bathroom in, or a new kitchen, or getting the windows fixed or something. I know you're not their employer, but you are paying them for a service. You're employing them for a purpose. You're the one in power. You have the money. How do you treat them if you're in charge? With respect, paying them for what they've done, being fair to them, or do you knock something off? Do you threaten them that if they don't do something extra, you won't pay them? You have a master in heaven who will be your judge. Secondly, Paul motivates the masters to treat their slaves in the same way because the Lord to whom they will answer is totally impartial. Verse 9, there is no favoritism with him. There's no bias, there's no advantage at the end of the day in being a boss. Verse 8, the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. There is a distinctive way of managing. If you're in the privileged position of being a boss, a team leader, an employer, and you're a follower of Jesus, have you thought how you are managing? Have you thought about your attitudes towards your staff as a Christian? Like employees, you have an amazing opportunity to show what Jesus is like, the Master in heaven. What it's like to live under his rule. What a joy and delight to be subject to him. Cast your eye over to chapter 4, verse 32, and see how he describes how Christ has been towards all of us, right at the end of chapter 4. He keeps comparing it to just as in Christ. So be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Reminds us, doesn't it, that Jesus, the master, came not to be served, but to serve. He did this sacrificially. Servant leadership is a very distinctive way of managing. How could you? What do you need to change as a follower of Jesus to be like him as you lead others? Finally, a greater vision for work. A greater vision for work. Your work matters. Whether you're an employee or an employer, your work matters. Of course it matters to you. It's the means of putting a roof over your head. It's a means of providing for your family. But it's not the most important thing in life. Even though that's what it sounds like when we hear one another talking, even though that's what it feels like often, because it absorbs so much of our daily living. To some of us, it may feel very significant and important and impressive. To others, the opposite, very unimpressive and insignificant and unimportant. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, had much to say about work. Here's one of his quotes. "God does not look at the insignificance of the acts," that is work he's speaking about. "He doesn't look at the insignificance of the acts, but at the heart that serves him in such little things." Our work may be little things or big things. We may be slaves or masters. All our work is done in God's presence. There is a heavenly business at hand as we work on earth. Your work matters to God, whoever you are, whatever you do, whatever your status. Are we submitting to him out of reverence for Christ? This is the greater vision for work. Having this horizon will change our horizon at work and the way we work. You don't have to take the tube for long before you hear the announcement, "Mind the gap." Instead of "mind the gap," think about closing the gap as those in Christ. Closing the gap between Sunday and Monday to Friday. Jesus is Lord of all of life. The worlds of home and work are very different. Are we in Christ the same in both? Whether slaves or masters, looking to him, living for him, doing the will of God from our hearts. Let's be quiet for a moment. Maybe there's one or two things that have struck us that we need to change. Maybe many things, but maybe take one or two. Ask the Lord to help you to change so that we might honour him. Let's be quiet for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. A great prayer that we'll be familiar with at the end of chapter 3. Helps us as we think about our working relationships, how we need God's help. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."